So I'm going to invite Daniela up now to talk to us about all that she's doing with Operation Open Eyes.
Hi, everyone. So I'm Daniela. Such an honour to be here today. I run an organisation called Operation Open Eyes, which is to open eyes to the injustice of the sex slave trade and to inspire action. So I don't know how many of you have heard of human trafficking. Quite an intense subject, I think, to bring into church, but I think it's important. And I got so excited when I was looking through your website, because I had to do a little bit of spying before I came. And your vision just really impacted me. And I'm going to read it back to you, if that's all right. It says, "Our aim is to build a loving, worshiping, learning, evangelistic, and spirit-filled fellowship. At this time, we believe God is calling us to be prepared to serve, that is, to be willing to serve him and empowered to serve him. In response to this, we are seeking to discover our gifts and invite people to come and go out into our community to represent him there." Oh, what a beautiful vision. Is that not the whole message of Jesus, right? To become saved and to take that message out into our community, into a hurting and broken world, right? And one of the darkest things happening, unfortunately, around the world today is human trafficking. So I want to bring some statistics into that, so to give you a picture of what we're looking at. So around the world today, it is estimated that there are 40 million people enslaved in human trafficking today. That's 5 victims for every 1,000 people. So in my quick Google, in 2011, Burwell had 6,000 people, which would come to about 30 people in human trafficking in Burwell today, right? So that's kind of breaking it down for you so you get a vision of what that looks like. In the UK alone, 5,000 victims are identified every year. Whoa! And it's right under our noses, right? It's easier for us to think of human trafficking as something that's happening out there, that's in Asia or in those third world countries, but it's happening here in England. And what's even more shocking, I think, is when we're breaking down where those victims are coming from, and they are coming from places like Albania and Poland and places like that, within the top 10 nations that those victims are coming from is the UK. We're selling our own people. And what does that look like? That looks like forced labor, farming, places like that, that are very common in the Fens, domestic servitude, maids, servants, forced marriages. In some countries, child soldiers, and I'm thankful we don't have that here. Criminal exploitation for drugs, things like that, and then sexual exploitation. And what's crazy is for most of those victims, it's often not limited to just one of those, but a combination of all of them. But while that can seem overwhelming, 40 million seems like a lot, even 5,000, there are 2 billion Christians today. That's 2 billion people that God has called and redeemed and restored and is calling to fight these injustices. We see all the way through the Bible that this is God's heart. Here's some scriptures I'm just going to throw at you as an example. So Isaiah 58. "Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. To set oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of your Lord will be your rear guard. You will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" Do you know, with every action God calls us to do, there's a promise that comes with it. So he doesn't tell you just to go out into these places. He says, "But don't worry, I'm coming with you. And not only that, you've been praying for healing, and I'm going to provide it. When people look at you, they're going to see me." I just think, oh, that gets me excited. Not only that, but Jesus, when he stood in the temple, the scripture he spoke was Isaiah 61. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So to sum it up, Micah 6 verse 8, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So we see all the way through the scripture, he's calling us to reach out to the hurting and the broken, the vulnerable and the weak. But do you know what the crazy thing is? Human traffickers are doing the church's job. They are reaching the hurting and the vulnerable, the broken and the pain-ridden. And they're getting there before we are. And they're using it for their own evil means. When we stop doing what God's called us to do, Satan's going to step in and grab them. In one state in America, it is estimated that 1 in 4 young people who run away from home get trafficked. They disappear. I wonder how many times we've seen some youngsters on the streets or who have run away and stopped to say, "Hey, you okay? Do you need anything? Can I wait with you while we call your parents or someone to come pick you up?" Can we be that light in the darkness? I think it's easy sometimes for us to get caught up in our own head and go, "Oh, well, what will they think? Well, what if they don't want it?" When actually, what if it's the one thing that they need? So I love the questions today. So what do you see? So what do you see about yourself? You know, it all starts within us. And whenever challenge or destruction happens, anything that is not resolved in us comes out. And the craziest thing is, so my focus is sexual exploitation. So in prostitution, in human trafficking. And do you know the average age of entry? So no, this is sticky to talk about in church. I bet none of you were expecting to hear this today, so stick with me. But the average age of entry into prostitution is 13 and 14 years old here in England. And we all know there's no such thing as a child prostitute. A child cannot agree to have sex, which means you're paying for rape. Whoa. And do you know before that age, most of them are sexually abused at home first by people they know. So I think for me, one of the things I think for us as a church, what we can be doing is preventing. So if that's the average age of entry, we need to be getting, one, these children young, right? We need to be stepping in and talking about these issues, even though it really does make us uncomfortable. Most churches, I don't know about you guys, I didn't see anything on your website, but most churches will train their youth and children's leaders in child protection. But do you know, for every adult that is trained in child protection, you can save 10 children from being prevented from being abused. So how about as a church, we all get trained in how to prevent child abuse? With the idea being that we're going to stop those 13 and 14-year-olds from being trafficked. And the Bible warns us in Matthew that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And you know, I love my God. I love him with all my heart. And we come to church and we sing these incredible songs, "Jesus, you are the hope of the nation." But what we really mean is, as long as it can be in my little bubble here in church, you know, as long as you can just be my hope, then we're good, right? And he's like, no, you have the most precious gift I've given you. You have hope for the hopeless. You have the ability to break the chains of those who are lonely and who are struggling and who just feel like their world is collapsing and all they need is for you to go out and offer this hope. Oh, what an incredible gift we have. And it says, Matthew 9, verse 36 to 37, "Pray for the workers. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few." So I'm reading your vision, and I'm reminded. So I started my journey of becoming aware of this 9 years ago. And I'm standing in the middle of a red light district, which is where I do a lot of my work. And God gives me this vision of these 40 million people caught in human trafficking stuck behind a gate, and he's standing at the gate and he's holding it closed, and every now and then he steps aside and we see a victim released, And do you know the sad thing is 50 to 75% of survivors of human trafficking get re-trafficked because we haven't got the restoration piece in place yet. And is that not the call of the church? And Jesus said to me, tell the church to get ready. I'm stepping aside soon and you're going to see these victims. Tell the church to get ready. And I've spent the last 9 years with that as my sole mission and my sole aim, is to be able to come and talk to people like you and say, guys, get ready. The hurting and the broken are about to be released and we're going to see them. And I believe in multitudes and we need to be ready. So my first question is, what do you see when we're talking about what do you see about yourself? I don't know about you guys, but, you know, when I'm around people who have similar weaknesses to me, I don't get stronger, right? It tends to pull you in and you suddenly go, oh, no, now we're both drowning, right? And so I said, guys, take this season and this time while you're praying for these people to come in to get yourself strong. You know, that prepare to serve. What a beautiful period of time you're in. Prepare, get ready, get strong, deal with your weaknesses, go out and make yourself a strong army so those weaknesses cannot pull you down. So that when those hurting and broken come in, you can go, you are safe here and we are ready for you. For it is the grace of God that has appeared that offers salvation to all people, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. I don't know how many of you look at the news and just feel overwhelmed or are just in shock about how quickly England is deteriorating and how our values as a Christian nation are no longer there. Like, it's easy for me to just look at the news and just sob and feel heartbroken and decimated and hopeless. But you know, so I don't, how many of you have heard of William Wilberforce? Right, he was a prime minister, I think in like the 1700s or 1800s. And that was a time when slavery was rampant in England, in fact, across the world. The whole nation's, whole economy was thriving on it. Through, unfortunately, the African slave trade, through the trade in tea and sugar, it all relied on every home had a slave. And it was through the whole veins of England. And there was one man that felt, he came to know Jesus, and Jesus, he read the Bible, and everywhere he said, this is unjust, this is not what God wants for humanity. And he spent over 30 years fighting human trafficking in the slave trade. 3 days before he died, he won, and he managed to turn it about. And he faced the whole of England laughing at him, rejecting him, telling him, no, it couldn't be done. And he stood and said, if God says it shouldn't happen, then it shouldn't happen. And we as England can thrive economically, I don't know, and as a society without it. And look at us today, we are. And I think once again, God is calling people who stand up and say, just because everyone else says this, okay, doesn't mean God doesn't, doesn't mean we can't thrive without it. But for everything we are against, we must be the answer for. Right? And I think that's where sometimes as Christians we find that hard, because it's easy to go, we shouldn't do that. Well, you shouldn't do that. Well, I don't agree with that. But actually, how many times do we stand there and go, you really shouldn't be doing that, and how can I stand beside you to make sure that you can get free from this? Right, let's go the long way. Let's look, instead of someone who's doing something we disagree with, let's look at someone who's hurting and is seeing that thing as the only thing that they're holding on to for hope. And the simplest way for this, I think, for us as a church and for others, is Titus. It tells us, for the older men to train the younger men to be temperate, to be worthy of respect, to be self-controlled, sound in faith, in endurance, in integrity, and in soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. Are we seeing a generation of men who know how to be self-controlled today? So I challenge you, older men, we need your story. We need you to be training the younger men how to do this. And the older women, the younger women, to be reverent, not to slander, but to be loved, to love, and to be self-controlled, pure, and kind. Again, we're not seeing that in the young women today, and we need you older men to help us, older women to help us with that. And some simple ways we can do this today. Child protection training. 3 hours of your time. I could come and do it if you wanted. simple way protect our children in our neighbourhood. Another thing Operation Open Eyes offers is Open Eyes community groups. It's having a group of people within your church trained to understand trauma. Because to be a victim of human trafficking is to go through some of the worst abuse you've ever been through. I got connected with you guys today through Trevor, not Kevin, who I met actually in the streets in Newmarket as he was out. Have you guys heard of street pastors? Good. Get involved. It is one of the most beautiful things happening out in Newmarket, that to reaching those who are out getting drunk, who are hopeless. And I met him while I was going out reaching into strip clubs, into women there, and they are so hurting and they are so broken. And just talking to those girls, they say, you know, I don't trust men. They're all useless, they say. You know, I've seen them all. I've seen husbands, I've seen military men, I've seen guys I went to school with, I've seen them all, I don't trust any of them. But what if there were men who came along and said, I want nothing from you other than to show you the love of Christ and what it means to be a true brother in Christ? What if there was a community, somewhere else on your website, it talked about you being a family of believers. What if there was a family for those who come from a broken family and don't know what it means to have spiritual mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters who, as you guys said, look out for one another and walk through life together? So I do an Open Eyes community group to help train you guys to do that, and I would love to do that. I think you guys are in the prime position to start that. I have leaflets with me if anyone wants them, that talk, and on the back of that are the signs of human trafficking. And what do you do if you think you see someone being trafficked? And the simple answer is called 101, the non-emergency police line, and let them know. But I would love to share that with you guys. So thank you for having me.
Oh, step down.
Yes.
How can we pray for you?
That's good. I would say pray for the workers. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. So pray for those people that are ready and willing to do the hard things and reach the hard people. Honestly, pray protection. Going into these places, some of the places I go into are run by the mafia and things like that. But light is made for darkness, and God's protection, he said, goes with you. But I would really appreciate that. But honestly, I'm always looking for friends and people that encourage. So if anyone feels called to do that, I would love to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.